Okay, this message is coming to you from Unveiling Glory. We seek to unveil the glory of God in all areas of life and to all peoples of the world. We're going over the book Why, written by Bob Shogren, and in that book we're going to answer hopefully a couple of things. Number one, we're going to look at why God created humans and why God created the devil. The book has many other things of why God created anything and everything, why God allows for evil, why Satan can't repent. We're not going to touch those things. We're going to go over those two key things, why God created humans and why God created the devil. We're going to start off by looking at Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. It goes this way, And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The raised up with us and seated, notice that's past tense, and that's helped us to realize how secure we are in our citizenship in heaven. Paul says it's past tense, it's a done deal. But then he goes on to say, in order that. In other words, there's a reason why you and I are raised up with Christ. There's a reason why you and I are seated with him in the heavenly realms. In order to help our audiences understand this, I'd like you to hold up two fists like you're being held up, but don't hold your fingers out like you're being held up. Hold them up in a fist. And I'm going to read the purpose statement, what comes right after in order that. And I want you to count on one hand the number of times God refers to himself, and on the other hand, the number of times God refers to us. Ready? Here we go. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. How many times did God refer to himself? That's right, four times. How many times did he refer to us? Just once. And yet when we think of heaven, we want to say heaven's all about us. Wait a second, we miss the 80% reference to God. We miss the four times reference where God says, hey, this is about what I get to do. What does he get to do? Heaven is 80% about what God gets to do. It's 20% about us. So what does God get to do? He gets to show the incomparable riches of his grace. That verb to show can be translated to put on display or to live out or to demonstrate. To put on display, to live out, or to demonstrate. Why is God wanting to put on display or live out his grace? Well, that's a key question. Why is God wanting to put on display or live out his grace? Our answer comes in looking at a timeline, so to say, of what I'm going to call eternity past and eternity future. In Psalm 90, verse 2, we read these words, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The first everlasting from everlasting references an eternity that God existed in what we call eternity past. And then the second reference, from everlasting to everlasting, that second everlasting refers to eternity future. From everlasting in eternity past to everlasting in eternity future, you are God. The idea is that God never began, he always is. God has always existed. So on our simple little graph here, we've got a ray going to the left and a ray going to the right, kind of a circle or a dot in between those two. The ray going to the left represents eternity past, the ray going to the right represents eternity future, and the dot represents the amount of time angels and humans have been created. How long is that? We have no idea. It could be hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years. We don't have no idea how long the angels have been in existence. Scripture gives no hint to that. But from the time, the very far left side of that circle, when the first electron was put together, when the first angels were eventually formed, when humans came out of this earth, until the second coming of Christ, when he says, "Alle, alle, income free," and we begin a new beginning, that's eternity future, that represents our timeline. Now, we need to realize that in eternity past, there were, again, no angels, no human, no creations. There was only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He was the only one who existed in eternity past. And then on the very far left side of the circle, God put the first electron together, and in during that time, he has created the universe, the angels, people, and eventually on the right side of the graph, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. After Christ comes back, after, depending upon your theological view, after he reigns 1,000 years or the second coming, whatever, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth and will begin eternity future. And in eternity future, you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, people, angels, a new heaven, and a new earth. Now, in order to understand why God created, why he created humans, and the two things we're trying to point out, we need to understand that God never changes. In Malachi 3:6 and in Hebrews 13:8, Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday means eternity past. Today means the circle, and forever means eternity future. Jesus never changes. God never changes. Simple biblical principle, God never changes. Again, Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Eternity past is yesterday, today is the circle, and eternity future represents forever in that text. So, we've got that God is the same both in eternity past and today and in eternity future, since he never changes. He is the same in all of those areas. So let's list some of the characteristics of God. What are some of the characteristics of God? Well, in 1 John 4:8, we find out that God is love. God is love. And in John 1:14, that God is full of grace. The Son of God, full of grace and truth. We're just going to emphasize the grace part, that he is full of grace, John 1:14. Ephesians 2:4, he is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. Now, let's ask ourselves the question, if God is love, he's then love in eternity past, in the present, and eternity future. If he's full of mercy and grace, he's full of mercy and grace in eternity past, in the present, and in eternity future. So he's full in all of these areas. Let's ask this question. Which of these characteristics was God able to live out, and in what age? In what period of time? So in eternity past or the present or eternity future, was God able to live all of these out? Was God able to live out love in eternity future? What's your answer? Yes, that's right. Of course he is. He'll be loving us then. Is God able to live out love now? Yes, very good. Okay, let's ask the third question. Is God able to live out, or was God able to live out love in eternity past? Okay, you say yes. To whom? Who was God able to live out love to? That's right. God the Father was able to love God the Son. God the Son was able to love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was able to love the Father, the Son. They loved within the Trinity. There was love within the Trinity. Very good. Now, was God able to live out mercy and grace in eternity future? Will God be able to live out mercy and grace in eternity future? Your answer? Yes, that's right. He'll always be giving us mercy in light of the sin that we did. He'll always be giving us grace, giving us things we don't deserve. Now, is God able to live out mercy or grace now in the present? Yes, that's right. God is able to give us mercy and give us grace right now. We're all experiencing that. Now, let's ask this one. Is God able to live out mercy and grace in eternity past? Okay, for those of you who say yes, let me see your hands. Great. To whom was God able to give mercy to or give grace in eternity past? Oh, you say to us, the people. No, we didn't exist during this time. The only ones that existed was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Was God able to give mercy and grace to himself in eternity past? That's right. The answer is no. God wasn't able to live out grace or mercy in eternity past. Yet he was rich in mercy and full of grace. Here he is, rich in mercy and full in grace, but unable to live it out. What would it be like to be full of something so wonderful, so good, so tremendous, and not be able to live it out? For us humans, it would be frustrating, tremendously frustrating, to have the common cure for the common cold and not be able to give it to anybody, to have grace and mercy, not be able to show it to anybody. It would be frustrating, but not to God. Look at Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. He does all that he pleases. So what did God do? He created a creation that needed mercy. God created a creation that needed mercy. And this is why you and I are sinful. Look at Romans 11:32. For God has bound all men over to disobedience. That word bound means chained to, yet having a free will. We are chained to. It means no matter which way you go, up or down, left or right, forward or backward, whichever way you go, you are going to sin. You have been bound to that. You are bound to sin. You are bound to disobedience. For God has bound all men over to sin or over to disobedience so that, here's a purpose clause, so that, this is why you and I are sinful. This is why God made us sinful. So that, okay, what's the reason, Paul? What's the reason? Tell us. So that he might have mercy on them all. So that he might have mercy on them all. Men and women, you and I are sinners just so that God might have mercy, that he might be able to live it out, that he might be able to put it on display. Why? Because in eternity past, he wasn't able to do that. He wasn't able to do that in eternity past. Therefore, he created a creation that needed mercy. He did that by binding us to sin, by binding us to disobedience. This explains why you and I are a sinner, and one reason why we were created. We were created so that God might have mercy. Some of you might want to scream, but that's not fair. Well, Psalm 115 says the same thing. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Listen, we need to realize that God has rights. God has rights. What do I mean by that? He's got the right to do whatever he wants. And if God wanted to create an eternity past, bind us to sin, he's got the right to do that. Remember, this all happened in eternity past, and we weren't even around. God never had to ask, but are you okay with this? Would you mind if I created you this way? Is this going to upset you? No, we weren't there. And because we weren't there, it teaches us a very valuable lesson. A lesson that we'll get to in a second. Only God existed. He does whatever he pleases. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit wanted to live out mercy. Therefore, he created us so that he can have mercy on us all. No wonder Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you were created, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." Now that phrase, "because of your will," can accurately be translated, "for your pleasure." For you created all things, and for your pleasure they were created and have their being. Men and women, you and I are here for God's pleasure. So here's that valuable lesson that we need. Life is not about us. Life is not about us as if we existed either before God or existed with God in eternity past. We did not. God thought all of this up in eternity past. Therefore, life is not about us. It's also not about us and God. Life is not about us and God, as if God had to consult with us in eternity past. That's not the case either. Life is about what God gets and wants to do. Let me repeat that. Life is about what God gets and wants to do. This is about what he's doing, what he is doing. So let's get back to our original verse, Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show, live out, put on display the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to his kindness in Christ Jesus. Men and women, you and I exist because God is wanting to show off his grace and his mercy. But God had a problem in wanting to live out his mercy. What was God's problem? For God to show his mercy, we have to sin. For us to sin, we've got to be tempted. Does anyone see a problem here? Yes, sir. What is it? Yes, that's right. God can't tempt anyone. God can't tempt anyone. We read this in James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. He himself tempts no one. God can't tempt anyone. So what did God create? May we propose to you that God created a tempter. He created a tempter. We call him Lucifer, Satan, the evil one, whatever you want to call him. God created the devil. Is that biblical? Or has there been an eternal duality between evil and good? Kind of a yin-yang throughout all of eternity. Does the Bible speak to that? Absolutely it does. Colossians 1:16. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven, that would be Satan, he was an angel, he was in heaven, yes. And on earth, he's now on the earth. Visible, nope, can't see him, that doesn't apply. But invisible, yes, that applies to him. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, that's all Lucifer and the demons. All things have been created through him and, what's it say? For him. For him. Men and women, get it straight right now in your brains. The devil was created for God. The devil was created for God. Satan was created by God for a purpose. Satan was created by God for a purpose. What is that purpose? To tempt people to sin so that God might have mercy on them all. Let me repeat that. The devil was created by God to tempt us to sin so that God might have mercy on us all. Are you beginning to see that things don't really revolve around us? Everything revolves around God. That's what we're trying to communicate to you today. Everything is revolving around God. Everything is about God. So what have we learned? Learned two things. One key reason God created us was to show out, to show or live out mercy. And number two, Satan was created by God for a purpose. God wanted him to be a tempter. Again, let me repeat that. What have we learned today? One key reason God created us was to show or live out his mercy. And number two, Satan was created by God for a purpose. God wanted him to be a tempter. Okay, what you've learned so far is not incorrect, but it is very incomplete. Extremely incomplete. There's so much more for to teach on. Why is there evil? Why Satan created evil and why he fell? Does Satan have a free will? Can Satan repent? Are there other reasons why we're created? All of that is found in the book Why. I don't have time to go over it. Just going over one simple one. But it's found in this book, Why, written by Bob Shogren. And then it continues on. What would be the greatest revelation of his grace in eternity future? That's what Ephesians 2, 6, and 7 is pointing us to. What is the greatest revelation of his grace in eternity future? And that is going to be found in our next talk, If I'm Saved by Grace, Why Bother with Works? If I'm Saved by Grace, Why Bother with Works? But for right now, we've answered the two questions. Why? Why God created humans? One of the reasons he created humans is so that he got mercy. Why did he create the devil? So that he could tempt us, so that we need mercy. We have answered those two questions on the front cover of the book, Why? All of this is coming to you from Unveiling Glory and from the book Why. I encourage you to pick it up and check it out. Thank you so much.